All right. Who here is born again?
I'm born again.
So I know who I'm talking to. All right. Who is baptized in the Holy Spirit? Anybody not baptized in the Holy Spirit? Better that way. Becky? Becky. He's supposed to jump up and start dancing. All right. I want to know, because the reason I asked that before we start out is that it is really important, this is a sidebar, that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. This is a part of the toolbox that we need when we expect to live in divine health. Part of your tools in your toolbox is to pray in tongues. Praise the Lord, worship the Lord, but pray in tongues. Because in that area, you are what? What are you doing when you pray in tongues?
Praying
the will of God. What else?
Edifying yourself.
Building
yourself up on your most holy faith.
Is that what you were going to say, Hilda?
You put yourself into the Holy Spirit.
You put yourself into the Holy Spirit. What do you mean by that? You plug yourself into the Holy Spirit. Okay. And you build yourself up in your most holy faith. Right? Okay. It is important. This is your reminder today. Pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, and pray in tongues, and pray in tongues, and pray in tongues, and pray in tongues. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. And I also pray in my understanding. We have a lot of times focus on our understanding when we're trying to receive healing. We're trying to get what's already ours. We're trying to get a hold of it. We're trying to get the understanding. We're trying to get this aspect of this mysterious thing that we don't really understand through our understanding and through our reasoning. A lot of times our reasoning just won't go there, and we need to pray in tongues to get that revelation, that understanding, to get the peeling back of this mystery, this what might be holding us back or hindering us, this praying in tongues, this connecting with the Lord in power. I mean, so that His power resonates to us and through us. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Don't minimize the effect of praying in tongues. Okay? All right? Don't ever forget that. All right? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so much for today, for this class, for these students. Lord, that we are gaining the understanding and the revelation knowledge of who you are, Jesus, as Lord over sickness and disease and injury and maladies and diagnoses and feelings and senses. You are Lord. You are Jesus. And you have conquered for us every disease, every malady, every sickness, every injury. It ain't up to us to conquer it because you've already done it. And we are grateful forever for what's been completed in us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right. While you're turning to Mark chapter 11, I want to just talk about some things here. We're going to talk about some mindsets. Good morning, Terry. Praise the Lord. I want to talk about some mindsets. And who made the coffee today? It is excellent. Whoever did it. There's a little, my little comment here. Okay? I want to talk about our mindsets when it comes to healing. And where our heads need to be. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace you have been saved. That word is sozo. Correct? What does sozo mean? Come on.
Salvation.
No, you don't get to answer them all. What does it mean? What does sozo mean?
Salvation.
It's in the Greek. It's a Greek word.
Salvation.
Salvation. Okay. What does it mean? What's the meaning behind it? Give it to me.
Forgiveness, deliverance, healing, prosperity, peace, joy, wholesome, well, everything.
Good.
Whole
it's
gospels in
It's the whole gospel is in the word sozo or soteria, which is a Greek word for salvation and saved, which means, and let's be exclusive right now, by grace you have been healed. By grace you have been, past tense, healed. Through faith. Through faith. Through faith. Undiluted faith. It's really just believing God. Now, I'll go into this next week about believing God. But it's not of works. Anytime we put our own efforts into healing our own, we're trying to get what we've already got. Anytime that we're trying to do something, follow a formula, follow some kind of a, and I want to use the word mystical, way that we think that we can gain what's already been given to us, then we are applying our own works. Grace, God's favor, God's gift of healing is a gift. It's just a gift. You can accept it, or in a convoluted way, you can try to earn it, or you can reject it. Those are the choices that we have. It's a gift. Healing is yours and mine, belongs to us. And one more quick quip. You must take ownership of your healing. You have to own it. And when you own something, until you give it away or sell it or pass it off or throw it in some cardboard box and walk away from it, it is yours. Always. Belongs to you. Okay? So own it. Now, this is a mindset. Okay? This is something that has to be, and again, these are basic issues. This has to be something that is in our mind and in our thinking. Becomes a part of our heart. It becomes a part of our identity. Becomes a part of, you know, salvation is a part of who we are, right? Healing is a part of what we have, but I'm healed. I am the healed of the Lord. I live in divine health. This is a part of living in divine health. Right? Okay. So it becomes a part of my identity as a new creation in Jesus. That's healing. Part of my ownership. Part of my mindset. This is normal Christianity. We don't think about this being normal Christianity because we get deluged with all the stuff around us. How about what our family says? How about what our, if we're married, what our spouse says? How about what our kids say? How about what the doctor says? And how about how I feel? And how about all the contrary appearances? Our mindset, which will transfer to your heart, has to be kingdom-minded. Romans 8, verse 6. Anybody know it? Romans 8, verse 6. If you're going to say it, say it. What is it?
I said to be kingdom-minded.
You got the whole thing? Don't look it up. Yeah. Talk to me. Okay. To be carnally minded is death. Good try. To be carnally minded is death. I'm going to treat you like students, okay? Because that's what this is.
Amen.
This is class. I expect you to work. I expect you to think. I expect you to come up. When you got something, it's okay. It's okay to make mistakes. But I'm just giving you my expectations because this is school, right? I like school. I want to learn. But I want to learn so I get it. Now that has always been my purpose. To be carnally minded is death. What does carnally minded mean? You don't get to answer everything either. Mindset on the flesh. What else? Christy.
To think and do like the world.
Think and do like the world, like everybody else. Anything else? Carnally minded. Carnally minded. Think about this. This is the kingdom mindset. What does it mean to be carnally minded, Pat?
I like the Amplified.
Amplified says sense and reason without the Holy Spirit.
Who? Human sense and reasoning without the Holy Spirit. Good. All right. But to be spiritually minded, what does that mean? Spiritually minded. What does it mean to be spiritually minded? Who's got this? Raise your hands. Doris.
To be led by the Spirit.
Led by the Spirit. Hold on.
To be word minded.
To be what?
The Word of God minded.
Word of God minded. What else? Good. What else does it mean to be spiritually minded? Hilda. Word of God minded. Okay. What else? Come on. Think. Think about these things. Don't just take what I'm saying and don't just gloss over this. Think about these. This is part of meditating on the Word. Judy.
Have the mind of Christ.
Have the mind of Christ. Okay. Christy.
To be led and directed by the Spirit within you.
Be led and directed by the Spirit within you. Spiritually minded. Spiritually minded. What does that mean? Come on. Hi, Barbara. What else does it mean? Pat. Perfect peace.
His mind stayed on you.
Okay. If your mind stayed on the Lord. Anything else? All right, let me just give you a clue. To be spiritually minded means I'm going to think about, my mind is going to be full of, I'm going to think on the things of God. I'm going to think on the promises. Of course, it's all in the Word. But I'm going to think on who He is and His character. I'm going to think on His love. I'm going to think on what His kingdom represents. I'm going to think on these things. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Life, Zoe life, God's kind of life, and peace. This kind of peace that is at rest in Him. To be carnally minded is death. It represents death. It represents everything that comes through death to us. Every sickness, every disease, everything that would try to make us or ever really take our life in some way, shape, or form. To be spiritually minded, our minds are on Him, is equal to, here's the equation, life and peace in Him. So if we don't focus on kingdom-mindedness, God-mindedness, spiritual-mindedness, think the way He thinks, if we don't do that, we're really thinking on death. But if we think on things the way He thinks, spiritually minded, what He says, what He's given, what He's done, who He is, His nature, that's life and peace to our flesh, to our minds, to our hearts. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Kingdom thinking is never based on how we feel, but what He says. Kingdom thinking is how the spiritual manifests in the natural. That's how it happens. It's a change. It's a whole change of the way we think. This is why in Romans 12:2, Paul wrote, under the leading of the Holy Spirit, what? What did he write? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to be renewed in the way we think. We have to be renewed in the way we think. We have to be renewed in the way we think. Good morning, Teresa. We have to be renewed in the way we think. Okay? That's life and peace. Now we're going on. I'm going to start the message. Okay? That was the preface for the message. Remember way back when some of us, have you ever had speech therapy? Anybody? Raise your hand. Anybody had speech therapy? One. Anybody else? Nobody else has had speech therapy? Come on. Really? Okay. What is speech therapy? Christy?
Well, they put you in this
room. Go ahead, speak up, honey.
They give you tools so that you can speak more clearly, so people can really sort of understand you. They used to have me use a tape recorder.
Okay.
So I could hear how I sound. And then when I go to class, it would help me to pronounce those words differently.
Okay. Speech therapy is learning how you speak to your body. It's retraining you in how to speak to your body. Right? Do you know you can do that, right? You know you can speak to your body? Anybody know that? Anybody doubt that? Because it's in the Word, right? So we're going to be kingdom-minded, spiritually-minded. We're going to know and do what's in the Word, right? Okay, any questions yet? We're going to go through speech therapy today. We're going to learn some training, get some training on how we speak to our bodies. We all need to be trained in this and retrained at times and refreshed. All right, Proverbs 18, verse 21. Start here. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Who's got the synopsis for this? And they that love it will eat its fruit. Who's got the paraphrase for this? Real quick. Who's got it? All you scholars. Nope. Hold on. You can't do them all, Hilda. What is it, Hilda?
You get what you speak.
Yeah. I mean, basically. Death and life. Remember to be spiritually minded. First of all, fleshly minded is death. Spiritually minded is life and peace. And then we're transferring now to retraining speech therapy and how we speak to our bodies. Christy, real quick.
Okay, well, last night I was reading Charles Capps, and he says that...
You were reading Charles Capps?
Right.
What? Yeah, what? Which one were you reading?
The one about creative...
God's creative power for healing. Yeah. Perfect.
Right. And he says that, you know, like God spoke everything into existence. So if you speak like the world, then you're putting that into your life.
That's right.
Know? Like people will say, oh, that tickled me to death. Mm-hmm. That's the worldly way to talk. You know, you have to change what you say.
Okay. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it shall eat its fruit. Your mouth, your tongue, your words produce death or they produce life, one or the other. Whatever you love the most is what you're going to have the most of, because that's what's going to come out of your mouth. This is a wake-up call, okay, for all of us. And this is something we all need to be kind of trained in or retrained in this aspect of speech therapy. Because there is power released when you speak. This power is, you know, you can envision it like a seed being planted in the ground that produces fruit over time. You can look at it as though, this is the way I look at it. My grandfather was a stonemason. And he would beat on these rocks and he would split them and put them in fireplaces and things like that. But he would tap, 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 and all of a sudden it would break. It's like tapping on a rock. And all of a sudden it opens up. When we speak to our bodies, we are releasing power. And that is the power to change our bodies. Now, a lot of people, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but there's a lot of misconceptions, a lot of misunderstanding on this aspect of our lives in speaking to our bodies. You can speak death or life. You can speak health and healing. You can speak wholeness, or you can speak crippling issues, one or the other. It is important. There's power that goes out of your mouth. Luke 6, verse 45. Luke 6, verse 45. And I'm sorry I'm hurrying through this, but this is a lot to pack in for 45 minutes. Luke 6, 45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart. Now, this is speaking about scripturally, that means a man or a woman. A good man or woman out of the good treasure, the good things that are hidden, that are valuable to them, brings forth good, wholeness, health, healing, divine health, changes in their body, good modifications, the release of God's power. And out of the evil treasure, the things that are important or hidden or kept that are just ungodly in our hearts, they bring forth evil. And then here's what the Lord says. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So here's the flag that tells us what we've got in our hearts. If I'm speaking sickness and disease, and I'm speaking about how I feel, and I'm speaking about what the world says, what the doctor's prognosis might be, or what the x-rays said, and I'm giving them exponentially credit. What I'm doing is I am building something that is hurting me. I am actually, in speech therapy, hurting my body. Because those are the things that I'm really believing. My mindset is not on the kingdom. My mindset is not on what God says. It's just a flag to show us, okay? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When somebody is speaking and really capitalizing on a sickness, a disease, or a particular injury in some way, what we're doing is we are giving credibility to it, and we are giving power to it, and we are giving ultimately faith to it, and we are releasing power to it. That's how this works. But you identify what's in our heart and what we're really believing by what comes out of our mouth. Any thoughts on that? Pat?
Well, I was just thinking that you're releasing...
Can you all hear her?
You're releasing power based on what you believe. So mm-hmm. It's more than just saying healing scriptures.
Right.
The belief is the power.
That's right.
The force behind the words. So if you're saying a healing scripture, but then mm-hmm. right after that you speak the sickness... Based on what you really believe, mm-hmm. you've given power mm-hmm. to the second mm-hmm. sentence.
That's a good point. We're going to cover that in a minute. Very good. Jack?
Did you?
Just a second, Ifoma. Jack, did you have something?
I was just going to say that, you know, when you get a report from the doctor, if you counter it, that, you know, that negative thing, and then counter it with what God says, that's the key. Even though you might say that, this is what the doctor said, but mm-hmm. I believe this is what I believe.
What you're doing is you're releasing power out of your heart and the good treasure that's in your heart of what you know to be true, that God has already healed you. Jesus has already provided it. Doris.
I was thinking too, Pastor, that you can always tell where you are in your spiritual walk by listening to yourself talk. And not only yourself, you begin to hear others. And sometimes you'll even cringe, like when you hear people say, I'm so low, I got to look up at my feet, I'm mm-hmm. broke as a joke. Mm-hmm. You know, all these little...
Mm-hmm. What they're doing is revealing what's really in their heart, what they really believe.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Now, can I really judge what everybody believes? No.
No.
So don't get all condemned if you've been speaking death or speaking powerlessness or speaking sickness. Don't get all condemned about this, because if you don't believe it, you won't have it. The same thing goes for health and healing. If it just becomes a rote or a repetitious thing, by his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. And it's just kind of a mantra. Everybody know what a mantra is? Okay. It just becomes a kind of a mantra that I keep in my back pocket. And I just say, by his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. By his stripes I was healed. And you don't really believe it in your heart, you're going to struggle. Because, yes, it's true, but you don't have any faith with it. And what we'll get into this in just a minute, okay? But this whole aspect of speech therapy, we're trying to cover a lot of ground today, but I want you to be aware that what you speak will build you up, will release divine health into your body, will bring this aspect of healing forefront. Whatever's in your heart's going to come out of your mouth. So if in your heart you really believe you're sick, you're going to speak it. If in your heart you really believe you're well, you're going to speak it. But when you speak it and when you believe it, you're going to see it. 3 years I spoke to my eyesight. I wore glasses. 3 years. I went in for my test, and obviously I don't wear glasses anymore. Now, it's just one thing out of many, and many of you know me in some of my testimonies. I'm a big believer in speech therapy to my body. Every day for many years, I've spoken to my body about a lot of things. I see the fruit of it. But it is a continual getting into my heart, the word, the truth, and allowing that word, that truth to come out, and allowing that word to produce in me faith that taps into the grace that's already supplied. That's what reflects out of my speech. All right. Ephesians 4:29 says, and I'm going to add this because it's implied as speaking to, when you read this personally, to you. You, Pastor Mike, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. I have a choice. I'll always have a choice on what I let come out of my mouth regarding speech therapy to my body. Corrupt in the Greek means rotten, like rotten fruit. Rotten fruit touches healthy fruit. What happens to it?
Turns rotten.
You ever done that? Mm-hmm. Seen it in the fridge? Got something rotten, and it touches something else, and the rottenness corrupts what's not rotten. This is how it works with our mouths. It says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good. This is the caution for us. What is good for necessary edification or building up, strengthening. Let's put it this way, making well. That it may impart grace to the hearers. You're a hearer, and your body is a hearer of what is in your speech. Your body hears you. Your body hears you talk. Your body hears the words that come out of your mouth. Your body feels the power. Your body changes every time you speak, whether you realize it or not. Your body is acting upon your words. We all need retraining in speech therapy. All right, turn to Mark 11 if you're not there, and I'll give you the backdrop. Mark 11, and I will cover verses 12 through 14 really quick. Jesus and his disciples were coming out of Jerusalem. Jesus sees a fig tree, and he's got his guys with him. So he goes to the fig tree at this time of year, looking for some food, some fruit. The fig tree has no fruit. Jesus speaks to the fig tree. Now, I want you to see, I want you to get the picture. Imagine this banner is a fig tree. You're out there on a hot desert day, and you're following Jesus, and he goes, he looks, picks through the tree, he finds no fruit. Now, did Jesus know the season for fruit? I mean,
sure,
did he?
Yes.
Okay, he lived there, right?
He created it.
Yeah, well, he not only created it, but he lived there, right? In the flesh. God in the flesh living in the desert out in Palestine, but it really was. He's living in the desert, living in Jerusalem, living around the area, surrounding area. He knows the seasons. So he says to the fig tree, fig tree, never bear fruit again. And he walks away. How do you think that looked? Come on. How did it look? Ephoma? How did it look?
Weird.
Strange. In Spanish, we'd say loco. Crazy. That's crazy. In the back of your minds, right now, and you can only you can answer this. Is it crazy? Don't answer me. Is it crazy to speak to our bodies? Is it crazy to speak to something? Because if it is, then Jesus was all wet. Right? Then they go out, they come back, and the next day they notice that the fig tree has shriveled up. It's dead. One day, just dead. The whole tree, dead from the roots up. How'd that happen?
By the word spoken to the tree.
Jesus spoke to the tree. This is a visual for us. This is an illustration. This is how you do this, folks. This is how you do this, kids. This is how you do this, disciples. Peter wigs out. He says, I'm blown away. The tree has shriveled up from the roots. And Jesus turns to him and he says, verse 22, first thing, have faith in God. Why does he say have faith in God? Why not faith in what your words say? Why not faith in what's coming out of you? Why not faith in the abundance of your heart? I know the word. Because ultimately your faith is in God. All right? Your faith is in God who has given us this power. Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Those that love it shall eat its fruit. There is power, dominion, authority released in our words. Have faith in God. He's the author. He's backing you up. You're born again. We're born again. Jesus has already died on the cross and risen. And he lives in us. What he said to that tree is resident, and how he said it and the authority that he had is resident in us right now. He's in us. He's in us. When you speak, look out. Things change. We're retraining in how we speak to our bodies right now. He's in us. He's in you. He's in me. So Jesus said in verse 22, have faith in God. For assuredly. Now, when Jesus says something is assuredly, you can not only take it to the bank, you can take it to the bank, you can build on top of it, you can build a whole world on it. This is the real deal. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says, now he goes and he refers to the mountains that are all around them. He's in the valley here. Okay, if you've ever seen it, looked on maps, he's in a valley, looking around at the mountains all around him. Whoever says to this mountain, go, be removed, and be cast into the sea. Mm-hmm. Here's a qualifier Pat brought up. Doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes those things he or she says will be done. He will have whatever he says. A lot of our illnesses, injuries, diseases, and sickness, diagnoses, and feelings, and circumstances look like mountains, and they are not. They have been leveled through the grace of God and the gospel. It's been done, but we're still seeing them, or we're still hearing them. And our understanding is that these are facts. So when you speak to the mountains that come up, understand that they have been dealt with by God's grace. However, when we face them, we are releasing power to remove those issues, they look like mountains, from our lives, to make changes in our lives. Through the abundance that's in our heart, we're letting come out the power, the same thing that Jesus released, who's in us, and seeing change. I've seen, arthritis is healed. And you know, there's nothing that is too difficult for the Lord. Luke 1, verse 37, with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. We think we're doing this on our own. We're not doing this on our own. With God, who's in us, who's with us, who's for us, who's made us more than conquerors, who's given it to us. Nothing is impossible. We look at these mountains and these diagnoses and these issues and these things, and we speak to them, we go, I don't really believe it. Or we believe it and we see the fruit of it. When we don't believe it, when we struggle with believing it, it is important. And I want to address Pat's statement again. But this is how I want to do this. And we don't see results right away. He saw it in 24 hours with the tree, right? We are battling us. That's who we're battling. We're not battling the mountain. We're not battling the issue. We're battling us in believing. It took me 3 years to get past my eyesight. As I was battling me, I'd shut my eyes and I'd just speak to myself and I'd speak to myself and I'd speak to myself. I'd speak to my eyes and I'd say, you see 20/20. I have 20/20 vision. Eyes, I say to you in Jesus' name, this is done. Because as you were with Moses, so you are with me. His eyesight was not dimmed. His natural forces were not abated. And I have 20/20 vision. Now that's how I did it. But I did it for 3 years. I didn't quit. Okay? And I applied speech therapy to my situation. I've done this with a number of things. Okay? In my life, physical issues that have tried to come. Am I still healed? Yeah, absolutely. Am I healed when I start to speak? Absolutely. Because it's already been done. But you know what? I am putting my mouth to work out of the abundance of my heart to move those things that keep trying to come against me. Because Jesus, greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. I can't do this on my own. But certainly what he's done, I can apply. Does this make sense? Yeah. Trying to cover a lot of ground really fast. But it's the believing in our heart. When we struggle with believing in our heart, we are fighting us. We're not fighting some enemy, some demonic. We're not fighting some something that's too big, because none of it is too big. Jesus said, whoever speaks to this mountain, we know mountains are immovable, right? Are they? Are they? Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. None of this is a big deal to the Lord. None of it. But we make it big. When you look at a mountain, you think, that's no big deal. This is where the term you can have what you say comes from. Because you really can. If you believe it in your heart and don't doubt. That's getting this into your heart. So when I'm making these statements of faith in the grace of God that I have, and I'm speaking to my body, applying speech therapy to my body, I am speaking so that my ears can hear what I'm saying, because it can go in to my understanding, it can reach my heart, and it can begin to change my body, begin to change how my body operates. Because if I continue to say it, and every time I say it, I believe you, Lord, and I'm meditating on believing God, having faith in God, and what I say, I can have. Jesus told me that. I don't know about anybody else, but he told me I can have what I say if I believe it in my heart and don't doubt. When it comes to my health, I speak every day, various times through the day. I have for many years. Now, I live in divine health. Do things try to come on me? Sure they do. Do I know it's already done? My healing is already finished. Do I know that he lives in me and I'm a new creation? I don't have a past like I did. None of that's penalizing me. Do I know that I have what I say, and I can speak life to my body, and I can have it? Do I know that I can expect things to change because mountains move when I speak? Yes. So when I speak, if there's anything inside of me that isn't lining up with the word, or any doubt or any pain or any type of symptom, then I speak to that. I tell my body it is well. I tell my body to straighten up. I tell my body in which way to act, that it is healed. I tell my body you are free from pain. I tell my muscles to work correctly. I've told my knees, which have at one time gave me a tremendous amount of pain. I said, you do not. I said, you are recreated. You are new. You work perfectly well. And you know what they do? I've spoken about my blood pressure. I've spoken about my eyesight. I've spoken about my cholesterol. I've spoken about, I mean, tons of stuff. Back, my back and muscles and all kinds of things. Things that are just not normal, because this isn't normal. This is Christianity 101. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Last scripture. Luke 17, verse 6. Luke 17, verse 6, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed. That's if. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. When you understand and believe that symptoms have no space to stay, and you speak to them, and you believe it, they have to go. They have to be gone. It has to move. It has to change. Your body has to change. Your body has to change when you just believe it in your heart. So you keep speaking, and you keep listening, and you keep agreeing in your heart as much as you are able. And you continue to do that, and you continue to remind yourself and remind your body that it's healed. And you know what? At some point, you're going to actually believe it and see the change. Could be fast, could be a day, could be 3 years like me. See, what the Lord's trying to do is get this seed of the truth into us so that we just believe. And when we speak, things change fast. That's ultimately where He wants us to be. Now, time is up. Is there anybody has questions about how you apply speech therapy, Doris?
Okay, I just need clarification on something. When you were standing believing for your eyesight, when you were using speech therapy on your eyes, mm-hmm. in that course of 3 years, in that interim, did you wear glasses?
I did.
Did you?
I wore glasses. This is how I did it. I had to have glasses. They were on my driver's license. I had to have my glasses for driving. I didn't want to wear them, but it was the law to wear my glasses. So I said, Lord, this is how I need to do it, right? I'm going to follow what your word says about keeping the law. But when I'm not driving, I'm not wearing glasses.
Okay.
And that's how I did it. I speak. I want to encourage you, get that little booklet, God's Creative Power for Healing, and make your own statements of faith that you're going to speak to your body according to the word. Make your own. I have mine. I can utilize mine for you and show you. But you know what? Make your own that apply to your own situation. This is easy stuff. Don't make it hard. But do this on a regular basis. Make it a routine in your life. Make it normal for you. And then every time you do it, you're releasing power and you're seeing changes. Because you will. Guarantee you, the word will not fail. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you so much for today and for this group. And thank you for the miracles, the signs, wonders, and healings right now in Jesus' name. Help us to line up our mouths with your word. Lord, to continue to use speech therapy to our bodies. Speak to our bodies and see results regularly, normally. And to have this mindset of kingdom thinking all the time in Jesus' name. Amen.